shown that he can commit to a relationship, whether it ends up in marriage again or long-term de facto, and he's got a commitment to his kids. And I do remember that we had coffee on the Wednesday, Thursday. I remember wanting to see him on the weekend, and he did say, I've got my kids' sporting events. And I said, that is fine, no problem at all. I've got lots of other things to do. As I said, I'm an only child, so I've always been used to doing things by myself. I caught up with girlfriends. And I just remember thinking at that moment, this is a guy that is really committed to his kids, and that is great, because that is actually how it should be.
Hi, I'm Tim Watson, and you're listening to the Blint Credible Podcast, where simply existing is dead, owning your superpower is life, and celebrated is the new step parent. Let's go. Blint Credible crew, what's going on? You know what time it is. It's Tuesday again. And I would say that this is my favorite day of the week, but you know what? That really wouldn't be true. My favorite day of the week ends in Y. I'll wait. I know, dad joke. But anyway, here we are again on the podcast. I've got another outstanding fellow step-parent with me today. And right now, we're going to dive into something a little bit different. What do you mean, Tim? I'm glad you asked. Today, we're actually going to take a trip across the water, or should I say down under. My guest is from Australia, and right now, I think the time difference is like 12 hours. So it's 9 o'clock at night here. It's 9 o'clock in the morning there. And she was gracious enough to start the day with us. So without any further delay, I want to introduce to you my fellow step-parent and amazing author. And I'm going to say it because she probably won't say it. And somewhat of a celebrity in her own right where she is. I want everyone to give a warm, Blint Credible welcome to Miss Kara Lee, the author of Step Parenting with Purpose. Kara Lee, what's going on? Welcome to the show.
Thank you for that beautiful introduction, Tim. And I'm delighted and really honored to be here with you and the whole Blint Credible family. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. I think for us, when we get to meet authors, and anybody who knows me knows that anyone who comes up with a resource for our dynamic is already head and shoulders above what I believe to be the average person. Why? Because you've dipped into your experience enough courage to put it out there and share it to help us out. So thank you so much for that, Kara Lee. I cannot thank you enough. I want to do something right here. I want people to understand that not only is Kara Lee a fellow step-parent, she's also an established, now help me out, is it a news anchor? What is it that you do, Kara Lee?
So my name is Kara Lee Katzenbarnas, and I'm well known in Australia for being a news and current affairs television commentator, radio commentator. I appear on weekly shows. I also write a weekly political column. So writing this book, when I say it raised eyebrows, it did it in a good way, because I think a lot of people forget that we have another life away from being a step-parent, which of course is the most important job that any of us will do, whether you're a parent or a step-parent, but we have another life. And there were quite a few people that wrote into the radio station and the TV station saying, wow, we didn't sort of realize that you did this.
They didn't realize that you did what?
Well, they didn't realize that I was a step-parent or a parent, which is good. And look, and I must say that, you know, when you're in the public eye, I mean, we're a country of 25 million people. So compared to the United States, I think you've got about 380 million. There's more of a spotlight on people. You're known within your own state, but you're also on shows that go nationally. And there are people out there that you have to be careful of. I don't care if anybody disagrees with political views or current affairs issues or whatever might go on. But you do have to be a little bit careful to protect your children and also your stepchildren, because they have their own lives, especially my stepchildren who are now young adults. And you just have to be careful in what you say and things like that. So, yeah, so I wrote the book and it's had a lovely response. But I want to tell the Blint Credible audience that And I'm not just saying this because, as you said, I won't say some things that you've sung my praises. You won't say some things either. I've always been on social media, but I resisted doing an Instagram account until January. When I went on there, because, of course, I knew of Tim's work and Blend Credible's work, when I contacted Tim and said, hey, I'm doing a book, straight away Tim said, I want to interview you. This is great. But the book hadn't been printed yet because it was scheduled to be launched in March. And I said, look, just let me do these final things. I'm still a bit nervous. And really, and I'm not just saying this, it was Tim for Blend Credible that said, you've got to do this. You've just got to get this published. You've got to write it. Another resource out there to help all step parents, step mums, step dads, everyone in the blended family dynamic. It's really going to help people around the world. And I always remembered that. And for the audience, I've kept in regular contact with Tim, a couple of messages here, email there. And I'm really proud that now we're halfway through the year, I'm here on the show.
Yes. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You're such
that.
An inspiring man. You can't help when you listen to your podcast, we feel like we know you. I guess in the same way being on TV and radio, people often think, you know, that they know me. You can only know someone through a medium, but you're always so incredibly uplifting, encouraging, enthusiastic about this role that we've all taken on, that we've never grown up thinking that we would take on, but it's been given to us for a reason. And you provide such an important, fulfilling role in this whole step-parenting sphere, Tim, that, you know, your podcast is important to so many people around the world as well. So thank you.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. And I receive that humbly. It's part of what I need as energy. We all need that energy. And I receive that. So thank you very much. It helps us to meet people like you and connect our messages and forward our calls. And I think that's important. So thank you again. I want to make sure that our audience knows and that our listeners know how important this podcast episode is, because the book that I have here, and I have my digital copy, by the way, in case everyone is wondering, because my hard copy is on the way. And at like a lot of other things right now at this time in our lives is on pause, just pause. So the COVID pandemic that is going around, it's affecting all of our lives in so many different ways. So patience is the order of the day, as well as tolerance, as well as empathy and sympathy. So we'll ride with that. But I've got my digital copy here and I've enjoyed it. I have not finished it. I got stuck on one chapter and I'll get into that a little bit later on. It's my favorite chapter. So we'll get into that later on. But I want to start here. When you were, and I'm going to read something here real quick from Carolee's website here, and then I will let her have it. 15 years ago, Carolee was like any other modern professional career woman. Life revolved around her high-profile role as a TV news reporter for major Australian TV networks. Now, I want to stop there because that sets everything up. 15 years ago, like any other modern professional career woman, you were doing your thing, crushing it. A high-profile role as a TV news reporter, major Australian TV television networks. And then, Carolee, what happened?
So I had been single for quite a while and a girlfriend suggested a blind date. And she said to me, he's a lovely guy. And then she paused and she said, but he's separated, divorced. And I must have raised one eyebrow. And she said, and he's got two children. And I think my mouth fell open. And I said to her, and her last words were, you just need to go for a cup of coffee with him. You don't need to marry him. They were his words. And I want to put it in perspective. I'm 48 this year. So I met my husband, Peter, when I was 31, 32. And at that time, I'm an only child. I guess I'm on TV. I'm a very caring person. I've always volunteered for charity. I've always taken up causes. I've always done this. But you have to realize, whether this is politically incorrect to say or not, for a single girl, that it sounds awful to say, people would say you could have anyone, you could have anyone. For somebody to marry someone who's divorced, let alone with two kids, most people do a bit of a gulp, because I think a lot of older people, and I've got a lot of older friends, would say, oh my gosh, there'll be problems, there'll be problems. He's been married before, he's got baggage. And I hate that word, but that is the term that is often used in Australia. Now, bear in mind, this is 15 years ago. So I'm on TV, I'm doing news, I'm on radio, I'm doing this. I guess I've got the tick, tick, tick. And I guess in my book, I had never imagined marrying someone that had been married before, let alone had kids. But I've always in my life, I see the person. I don't see the job that they do. I see the person. And I remember another thing that my friend said to me. She said, you know what? He got married when he was 20, 21. Sometimes things just grow apart, but he made a commitment. So he's one of these guys that can make a commitment. And she said, one important thing to me. She said, during your coffee, see how he talks about his children and his ex. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, the thing is, you can tell a lot about somebody, about how they talk about an ex, because it'll be the mother of his children. And if he's rude or derogatory about her, run away a mile, because one day that could be you. And you've got to measure somebody as to how they speak about an ex. So she said, you know, if he just says, oh, look, we got married too young, we grew apart, blah, 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 blah. She said, that happens. And she said, marriage is a lottery. You know, it's a 50-50 chance that you'll get it right. Now, one thing I want to say for the Blend Credible audience is I'm using the term marriage. In Australia, if you're with a partner, you can call it long-term de facto. So I definitely don't want to alienate anyone from this podcast by saying my husband or marriage or anything like that. I know that there are lots of different relationships that are just as valid. In my case, I chose to get married. So, and he chose to get married for a second time, which to me, I think was scarier for him than it was for me, because, you know, you want to make your next relationship really work. So anyway, we went for the cup of coffee, and as corny as it sounds, I knew straight away at that coffee that this was the man that I was going to marry.
Mm. So now coffee is magical. I just want to say it is magical. I think it is the bean of the gods. I really do. But now tell me, when you went out on this date, can you remember one thing that stuck out when you left that place? When you told yourself, okay, well, this was pleasant. It's better than I thought. What was the phrase or what was the thing that he said that kind of unlocked those defensive doors?
Oh my goodness, Tim, you're making me cast my mind back. So we went for coffee in the center of Melbourne, and I had finished a new shift. I'd finished very early at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which is quite unusual because I think I'd started at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was due to go to the movies and have dinner with another girlfriend. And I remember saying to her, I still have a handwritten diary. I'm very modern with all my communication, but I still have one of those normal diaries, not a dear diary, but just one. And I said to this girlfriend, look, I've got to meet this guy for a cup of coffee. Otherwise, so-and-so will be on my back forever that I never went for a blind date and blah, blah, blah. I'm just doing it to make her happy. I'll be through in an hour and I'll meet you down in the center of Melbourne for the movie and dinner. Well, that never happened. I have to say I was just magically captivated by everything he said. He was interested in so many different things. And one thing he didn't do is he didn't talk about his kids and the ex incessantly at all. He was very open, very honest, and we sort of left it where we agreed to see each other the following night for dinner, which in my mind was thinking, oh, aren't you meant to wait 3 days and this and that? And then I sort of thought, you know, that a whole thing about dating, we both deep down knew, but I want to make it clear, it wasn't like, when I say a lust, I'm not saying, you know, oh, I've got to get to go. It was just one of these things where it actually felt like I had never not known him. He just felt like I'd never not known him. And I was surprised as anyone. And so, yep, we went out to dinner the following night and then we just continued seeing each other. And it was like it had always been. And I have always been the bridesmaid for lots of girlfriends' ceremonies, and I've been at naming ceremonies and I've been at commitment ceremonies, and there are lots of Hollywood movies about someone is always the bridesmaid. But I was very happy to do so because I'd always, I guess, grown up and I'd always thought, if it happens to me, great. If it doesn't happen to me, I'm okay with that. And as I said, I'm 48 this year, but I have a lot of girlfriends in my age bracket where they've never met the right person and they sadly haven't been able to have children. They haven't wanted to go alone. They've wanted the whole traditional family thing. And where the irony is that these were people that had boyfriends and long-term relationships that didn't work for some reason. Some of them know the reason now. Sometimes you need to go through your life to look back as to why things haven't worked. But it just, I just felt like it was meant to be. And I also used my head and I thought, well, you know, I'm in my mid-30s and I'm either going to meet someone that is 10 or 15 years younger and I'm going to end up being like their mum, or I'm going to meet a guy who's shown that he can commit to a relationship, whether it ends up in marriage again or long-term de facto, and he's got a commitment to his kids. And I do remember that we had coffee on the Wednesday, Thursday. I remember wanting to see him on the weekend and he did say, I've got my kids' sporting events. And I said, that is fine, no problem at all. I've got lots of other things to do. As I said, I'm an only child, so I've always been used to doing things by myself. I caught up with girlfriends. And I just remember thinking at that moment, this is a guy that is really committed to his kids, and mm-hmm. that is great because that is actually how it should be.
Mm, I love the fact that you had that unspoken, that underlying connection. It's important. Mm. I think we really overplay it sometimes. We do overplay it. We look for all these other things when really, if that underlying connection is there, it's there. And then everything else can be built on top of that. So I like that and I can connect with that. The thing that I just realized while you were talking, and I don't know why this never dawned on me before, you didn't have any children.
No, I'd never been married. I hadn't had a boyfriend for a few years and I had no children. I must say that quite a lot of people, and I say this in the book and I've said it on Australian media as well, that so look, what I want to do here with the Blend Credible audience is I want to make a really important distinction. It is very important for someone who's a step parent not to feel second place and not to be treated in a second place. Mm. But it's also important to realize that if you meet someone with children, those children were created and are there before. It doesn't mean that they're put on a pedestal higher than you. You've got to have what I call a symbiotic relationship. It's got to work. I've had quite a few friends that have met guys with kids that have got quite upset that every alternate weekend, you know, they may not be able to go off for a romantic dinner or a weekend away because they say, but that's the weekend off. And I say, but for a parent, there's never really a weekend off. You know, mm-hmm. if there's a football grand final or a netball grand final or a t-ball grand final that perhaps doesn't fall on the custody access weekend of the dad, he can still go, and so he should. I think as a step parent, you have to be more selfless than others. Now, when I first started dating my husband, Peter, people would say, but don't you mind? Don't you get fed up? And I'd say, but I've always worked weekends. I've always had other activities. If I can't see him on that weekend, I'll go and catch up with my girlfriends so that the time together is more treasured and more valuable. And I think the biggest thing that I often say to people who are wanting to be step-parents is I just say, look, this is a real long-term gain. This doesn't mean that in 3 months' time he's suddenly going to drop his kids' things on a weekend and say, yes, let's whiz off somewhere for a long weekend. It doesn't happen that way. I think you have to be incredibly mature to be a good step-parent because you have to be objective. You have to realize that there are some other human beings that have been created that have got needs as well. And if you're a woman and you're with their dad, it's their dad. And they're too young. They've still got a child's brain. They're too young to make that adult distinction, you know, because they would just see you if he kept dropping his commitments to his kids, that you're taking their dad away from them. You as the adult, you've got to be able to just quietly just slip into that role and perhaps instead of being in top gear when they're not around, just be happy to be in second gear because you're still there, but you're also dealing with all those complexities that they're going through. If they live with their mum the majority of the time and they come over to stay with you, you've got to realize that if there's animosity between the mum and your new partner, that is going to manifest itself with the children. You just have to try and not take things personally. You've got to try and be calm and considered and also understanding, because not only is it a juggling act for you as a step parent, it's also a juggling act for your partner.
True. And I love what you said too about the parents, they don't get weekends off. I know. It just doesn't happen. I mean, we can take some time away, but you don't get a weekend off when you're a parent. And for you to see that, especially not having any children, that's a whole different thing I need to come back and focus on. You did not have children. That's a perspective and an introspective you had that's not natural. So you're right. You have to be mature in so many different ways. You meet this guy, blind date. You know that there's an attraction. More than that, there's a connection. You find out he has children. You meet these children. Tell me about the first time you met these children. What was it like?
Okay, so let me make very clear, and I put this in my book. Naturally, when you meet someone, there's a connection. You know you're in love. You're excited. It's like skipping through the meadows and all of this stuff, and it's lovely. And I had quite a few friends that said, don't meet the children for quite a few months.
Okay.
And I was initially thinking, oh, my goodness, they're trying to ruin my happiness. What do they mean, don't meet the children? And they all said, the longer that you cannot meet the children, the better it is. It's better for you because your relationship with your guy is developing as a boy and a girl, or a man and a woman. The children are a part of your life, but they're not going to be your whole life, because when they grow up, at some point you're going to be with your partner and you don't want to look at each other and think, hey, our relationship was all about the stepkids and you're a stepmom and it's all there. So I actually delayed meeting his children for nearly a year. Now, let me make this very clear. They knew of me. There's nothing covered up. There's nothing secretive or anything. But I took advice from friends that had been in that situation, and sadly, their relationships hadn't worked with their others because they said they'd met the children too quickly. They were ready to meet the stepkids, but the stepkids weren't ready to meet them. Now, I'm really clear in my book and I say every single step parenting situation is different. If you're a widow, naturally the prospective step parent is going to have to meet the kids a lot quicker. But we had quite a traditional thing. My husband's kids were 10 and a half and 11 and a half. They knew of me. He was fairly newly divorced. So even though there'd been a separation, those kids are still grappling with the fact that mum and dad are no longer together. And of course, friends said, you know, you don't want any anger or anything to be taken out on you, vice versa. These things take time. And then I remember a friend of mine said, Carolee, it really doesn't matter if it takes nearly a year to meet them. The longer the better, because what if it doesn't work with their dad? He will have introduced a woman as a stepmom, prospective stepmom, into their family dynamic, and it just will add to confusion. And this girlfriend of mine said, that's part of the problem with a lot of breakups of second relationships and stepkids. People try and meet the kids too fast. It becomes a revolving door. The kids will then start playing off one parent against another because it's too soon. And I remember being worried about this. And I remember thinking, gee, you know, well, they think I don't want to meet them, blah, 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 blah. My husband had also spoken to a lot of his friends as well about that, and it worked out incredibly well because, as I said, I was on TV, I was doing a lot of stuff on weekends anyway. Seeing my hubby on that alternate weekend, it just all worked and it felt very, very natural. When I met them, it went fine because, don't forget, nearly a year had gone. They were so used to the separate households that they would go to, and it was the right thing for us to do, and quite a few friends have thanked me for that advice, and they've said, we completely understand what you mean. In the beginning, you want to meet them, you want to do this, but you're forgetting the other emotional factors at play. You don't know what's going on at the other parent's house. Is the other parent upset that their ex has now met somebody else and they haven't met someone first? So it went fine.
That's great advice. I can see that. I mean, I think it was 6 months for us here before I met the kid. So a year. I love why. I love your why for that. You know, build that relationship or not, right? That 12 months.
Yes,
it gives you
definitely.
That time. And what's so important to me is when you said that the children were used to the separate households. And that's important because they're used to and they knew that the house was their dad's, not their dad's and his girlfriend. You know, that's not the first thing they step into. That's very important. So I really like that. You have this momentum in the relationship. You've transcended. You have finally met the children after 1 year. You're in it. Where and when does the idea of a book come along? How does that happen?
Interesting, Tim. So I say in my book that this is the book that I wished I'd had 15 years ago when I began my step-parenting journey. I have never, so we have been together for 15 years. I have never met or spoken to my husband's ex-wife. That normally draws the silence and the mouth falling open that no doubt you've done and the Blend Credible audience has done as well. We only lived a few kilometres away, but I have never met and spoken to her. I initially wanted to, but she wasn't interested. And I got the idea for the book pretty early on because I actually said to my husband, this is not right. This is very juvenile emotional behavior, because I actually said to him, your children are only 6 years away from turning 18. And what happens to the 18th? What happens to the 21st? What happens down the track? And it's funny because years later, my stepson said to me, you know, it was a bit of a backhanded compliment from my mum that she never wanted to meet you because she had faith in my dad that he'd chosen, you know, the right new partner. And I am very careful what I say to my stepkids. And I said, but that actually isn't the right thing to do. For the audience today, all step parents, there's no right way to blend a step family. We all know that what works for one step family may not work for another. But I remember thinking, and probably drawing on my journalistic objective knowledge, thinking, you know, if positions were reversed and I was divorced with two kids, age now 11 and 12, and I was doing 1 week on, 1 week off, or every alternate fortnight, I would be wanting to meet my ex's significant other because they're going to have a role in the raising of my children and the upbringing of my children. And I would want to know that we were on, you know, common ground. One reason why I wanted to meet my husband's ex, or at the very least speak to her, is, as you say, I had no children. But to me, I was being more of the adult and the parent than she was. I wanted to meet her to say, I don't want to be the mother to your children. I don't want to take your role. But what I do want to do is I want to have some really good working guidelines as to perhaps what goes on in your house as to what will go on in our house. So, for example, if you expect the kids' beds to be made, but that's not really a priority for me, I'm going to upset the balance in your household, because if they don't have to make the beds at my house, it's going to cause a whirlwind at your house because they'll say, oh, we don't need to make the beds at dad's.
So I
wanted to do was I wanted to get some just some working ground rules. I wanted to give the kids some chores to do. But I said to my hubby, look, I don't want them to feel every time they come over they've got to be vacuuming or clearing plates or doing anything. But I want them to get used to, you know, putting their laundry in the laundry basket and setting the table and clearing the table and being part of the family. Like, they're not coming every weekend to a hotel. They're coming to a working dynamic family. We didn't have kids at this stage. But, yeah, I have never met or spoken to my husband's ex-wife, and I'd had the idea for the book, as I said, many years ago, but my stepchildren are now 26 and 25, and I said to my husband, I really would like to write this book because I feel that not only do I have a different perspective, having gone through their raising and their upbringing. I mean, as a step parent, it doesn't matter. You know, I'll be a step parent until they're in their 80s if I'm still alive. Which, but it's very different. But I said to him, I'm writing this reflectively, you know, reflectively, not reactively. So I'm actually trying to put that objective head on and look at things to say that some things were done right, but some things have been done so badly, and I want to save people that are either on their step-parenting journey now or thinking of becoming a step-parent, not making those basic 101 mistakes. They will still happen. No one is perfect, but this was a glaring, glaring thing for me. And, of course, we've been through all the games. We've been through swapping the weekends unofficially if there was a christening or a naming ceremony on her side of the family. When it came to our both our kids, our eldest two kids being christened, she wouldn't let them come to the church. She dropped them off at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, sat in the car up the road so that they could come and have a photo at the celebration, and that was it. And, you know, it was years later that my stepson was looking through the album saying, oh, why aren't there many photos of my sister and I at your kid's christening? And I actually said, because your mum wouldn't let you come. And he said, I do remember that. It's a very difficult thing. All I want to say is that I would like parents to read my book as well as step parents, because there's a lot of things that when you read in print, if you've been thinking of doing, hopefully it'll just stop you from doing things. And as I said, it's a real shame. My stepkids never had 18ths and they never had 21sts with us all together. They had separate sort of celebrations. They did a trip overseas when they were 21. But to me, it was sad. But you know what? You can only do your best. Hindsight is an amazing thing, but it is very kind of you and a lot of other people to say, but Carolee, you were not a parent at this stage and you had the foresight to think that in a few years' time, these kids were going to be growing into adulthood. You got to have that good working relationship happening.
Incredible. Incredible. I'm still kind of teetering mentally from that statement that you've never spoken to the children's bio mom and you've never met her. I don't know. I mean, if you're listening to this episode and you've done that too, drop me a DM in the Twitter or IG. Send me an email. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, and you know that's why it also spurred me on to write the book, because I don't think it's the right thing. I also want to make very clear that I say in my book that when a marriage or a long-term relationship breaks down, it's 50-50 percentage. It doesn't matter if your husband's left you and had an affair or you've left your husband and had an affair. Your marriage is broken down. It's been and done. What you need to focus on is if you've had children together, they are the important ones. And you're not a bad person if your marriage breaks down for whatever reason. Sometimes you're just too young when you've partnered up, but you can't hang on to that bitterness. You've got to be adult enough to go and get maybe some professional help to work through it and to realize that if your children do not see a good working relationship between you and your ex or you and their new partner, you're going to keep scarring them for life because they're not going to know the right role modeling to do. And I always say this, and I know that other step parents have used this phrase too, and I was very pleased to read it around the traps. I always say that your ex will never be your children's ex. Their mother and their father will never be their ex. So by all means, if your husband's had an affair on you and stuff, ring up your girlfriends, scream, yell and shout with your girlfriends, sit around, eat tubs of ice cream, watch a movie, go through everything, he's ruined my life. Do that with your girlfriends. Do not do it in front of your children. Do not make derogatory comments about their dad in front of them or if the dad has got a new partner, because you know what? It's someone who is stepping up that is willing to take on your kids and make hopefully a positive difference in your children's life. And they can't do that if you're not willing to come to the negotiating table. I want to share a small story with you that in Australia, often with a custody, one parent will drop off to the house, one parent will pick up. right? That's if it's all amicable. We do have the car park drop-offs as well, but normally people drop off. For 2 years, my husband drove to his ex-wife's house, picked up the kids, brought it back to ours, and then would drop them back. And it was my stepson that said to his mum, after we'd been married for a couple of years, that said, "Mum, a lot of people at school, you know, they share the driving 50-50. You should really be doing that. It's really not fair on Dad to be doing it all the time." She accepted to do that. But when she would come to pick them up, they had a cell phone. We call it a mobile phone in Australia. They had a cell phone. And the pickup was 5 o'clock on a Sunday. And I would watch them sitting on our sofa, and their knee would start wobbling, you know, going up and down, up and down. And mm-hmm. they would be looking at their phones and they would be shaking a little bit because they were waiting for the text message from their mum to say that she'd arrived. And then they would grab their wheelie bags, their suitcases, go out of the front door. My husband would go as well. And they would go up the road. And I remember saying there and then to my husband, "This is ridiculous. There should be no reason why she can't knock on the door, even if I open the door and I say, 'Hey, kids, your mum's here.'" Mm-hmm. And I've spoken about this with my stepson later in life. And he said, "Yeah, that would have just taken some of the weirdness out of it." I mean, let me be perfectly clear. Would I have invited her in for a cup of tea initially? Certainly not, because she was very antagonistic and very combative, right? You can tell that. You don't need to be best friends with your ex's new partner, but surely they can knock on the door, you can open your door, and you can say, "Kids, your mum's here, have a great week, be nice to your mum," and off they go. I would often say, I mean, I doubt my husband's ex-wife would ever believe this, but I would often say to my stepkids, "You know, be nice to your mum, try and help her, she's working full-time too." So just little things like that, because what I'm really passionate about step-parenting is that I believe that if this generation of kids can't see really good working relationships between, as I said, their parents and their parents and their step-parents, the odds are they're going to end up being step-parents one day. And if they replicate some of those really dysfunctional behaviours that we know that happens, what's this world going to come to?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very true. Mm. Yeah. Very true. The part about making sure that the children were safe. You didn't use those words, but everything you said conveyed the fact that you wanted to make sure they were safe. You wanted to protect everything about things that were just too large for them to grasp at that age. I want to commend you for that too, because sometimes that's overlooked, but you did not do that. So thank you for that. I'm sure that they're the better for it now too. You start this book. So you talk to your husband about wanting to start this book.
Yep.
Very, very rarely do books start off at chapter one. What part did you dive into? And I love the fact that you use, for the record, retrospective, not reactive. It makes a huge difference in your writing and your message. I want to start with chapter one, because even though that's probably not where you started, but I want to start there because, look, the titles of these chapters, I'm just going to give you a couple of them here. I like chapter one, the split, the savageness, and the silliness, right? I mean, right off the bat, you get right into it. Chapter two talks about the end of one era and the start of a new one, and three, four, five, and so on. Now, I know I have a favorite chapter here because I've been through this. I've got 4 children in the home, 2 daughters, 2 sons. For conversation's sake, I've got 1 bio son and 3 stepchildren in the home. 2 of those stepchildren are daughters. And I always had sons. Even in my first marriage, my very first time around as a stepdad, I was a stepdad to a son. I never had girls. So, everything about our house was man stuff and boy stuff. And even just from my time in the Marine Corps to getting out and my time with my sons, that's what we did, right? So when the girls come along, you know, chapter 12, I was rolling because that was me. What the hell is going on? So my favorite chapter is chapter 12, ladies and gentlemen, listeners and audiences. My chapter is Hairy Balls and the Period Talk. I rolled and laughed out loud reading that chapter. I want to ask you, there's 15 chapters in the book. What are some of your highlights? I'm not going to say favorites, because when you write a book, there are no favorites. But what are your highlights? Some of the highlights of this book, what are they that you can think of that stick out to you, that really resonate with you?
Well, Tim, thank you. The highlights, I have to say, yes, chapter 12, the hairy balls and the period talk. That's a highlight. I guess when I say a highlight, and I'm glad that you rolled around laughing, when I say a highlight, the highlight for me is actually having had the courage to write what I've written, to hopefully, if it just helps one step parent or one parent, my job is done. Mm-hmm. So the hairy balls and the period talk, the real instigation for this was the fact that it's a serious issue, but mm-hmm. what I think is there really wasn't much communication between my husband and his ex-wife. Naturally, there were the text messages and there were the screaming phone calls at times. But we went through a situation where we were in a block of apartments and the plumbing was always blocking up. In Australia, we've got a lot of big trees, and quite often tree roots go into pipes, and they've got to be ground back by a certain plumber. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because we knew in the apartment block there was an older couple above, and then there was a single person. And I thought, why does this just keep blocking up? And what happened was we called a plumber, and my husband was at work. I was on a day off. And he brought me outside, and I know that everyone's listening to this, so put down anything that you're eating or whatever, and he just pointed at what was in the drain, and mm-hmm. it was basically a wadge of, we call them sanitary pads, sanitary mm-hmm. napkins. And I thought, okay, I think I know what's going on. And what had really happened was my stepdaughter had begun her period, or her menstruation, as you might call it in the United States. And I said to my husband, did you know about this? And, of course, he didn't. And, of course, mm-hmm. for a father to learn that the daughter, it's an emotional topic. It's not something I don't think that would naturally a dad would say. And I just said to him, why didn't your ex-wife at least message you and let you know? She doesn't know whether I use tampons or sanitary pads or anything. Why didn't she let you know so that we can always just have something under the sink and she can tell her daughter there's always stuff under, you know, your stepmom and your dad's sink. Mm-hmm. And what happened was I didn't want to be the person to tell her the facts of life. It's not my role. That's a very private thing between a mum and a daughter. But, of course, she got her period on the weekend when she was there. It ended up being my husband's mum and his sister at the time, because she'd gone over there for a sleepover one night. I think it was the Friday night, and they told her. Now, you've got to put your mind to a 13-year-old girl, and she must have gone home and then told her mum over the weekend. And I have a clear recollection that her mum rang my husband and went nuts. And I also remember that he said to her what I had said to him, why didn't you let me know? If you at least let me know there. Now, as the ensuing visits came, she came with her supply of stuff, and I think I gently said, look, there's some things in the bathroom if you need it. I never actually had that chat, but I thought, you know, no matter how acrimonious your split is, no matter how much you dislike your ex, you owe it to your daughter to actually make stuff easy for her. And I just thought, this is just ridiculous. But the highlight for me was that quite a few people in Australia have read this book and they've commented on this chapter. And I've mm-hmm. had an email from a parent that was behaving like my husband's ex-wife. Mm-hmm. And she said, wow. She mm-hmm. said, I've never thought of this. And I've had emails from stepmoms in particular saying, thank you. And a stepmom actually said, I was the one that had to sit down and explain all this to my stepdaughter. And, of course, naturally she's had to tell her mum, and the mum's gone mad at me and, you know, the ex. And I'm thinking, okay, so while kids get the sex education at school, You've got to step up. Everyone's got to step up and realize that, you know, puberty nowadays, it's a difficult thing. So a highlight for me was actually writing it and having changed some behaviors of some people, which I even think, I don't even know how people, why people wouldn't think of letting the ex know. So that, I guess, when I say a highlight, I guess it's an important thing. I think also just writing some common sense things, as I've said, you know, don't badmouth your ex. Your ex is always your ex, but he or she is never your children's ex. And just, I think, a highlight for the book is tackling these issues that can be very difficult for people to talk about. Sometimes being able to read it in black and white print, the message really does sink in, because it's also a book out there with a message that if you're a friend of somebody going through a separation or a divorce, mm-hmm. as a friend, naturally you're there for that person, but you got to step up and you've got to recognize if they're doing some wacky, irrational, dysfunctional behavior. You've got to either suggest that they go into professional counseling, or if they say they're going to do a certain thing, you got to be the one to say, listen, this is not right. I'm going to stop you right here and right now. Because I've found in Australia that where a lot of this bitterness and this jealousy comes from is if the ex repartners before the other person. And instead of the other person thinking, hey, this will happen to me one day, there are stories of people, you know, not dropping off their kids to be the bridesmaids at the new wedding, but then they might get married a few years later and they forget about what they've done. You know, as a friend to somebody going through a separation or divorce, be that friend. Your role is to be there as a support, but you're not meant to be there as their bells and whistles cheer squad. If you can see some dysfunctional behavior, you've got a responsibility to call it out.
That's important. Boy, that's important. That's important.
What else? Other things. Look, I have to say to you, I don't have a favorite part, but what I do is I have two amazing quotes that really guided me. I have a quote that was sent to me by somebody very early on before I wrote the book, and I popped it in the quote. And it says, one day you will tell your story of how you've overcome what you're going through now, and it will become part of someone else's survival guide.
Yes.
And I've had a lot of lovely emails from people saying, thank you. We have been through this. We have never known that other people have gone through it. You've lifted a lid on some of these issues that need to be discussed. Also, how grandparents should act as well. And then there was the other quote from one of your fellow country women, or country people, however you say it in the US, by the Nobel and Pulitzer Prize winning novelist Toni Morrison.
Yes,
and
indeed.
She says, if there is a book that you want to read but it hasn't been written yet, you must be the one to write it. And yes. I guess I was encouraged by a lot of people saying, Carolee, you can write this book. You're a writer. You can just write it, and, you know, it covers a lot of issues. Another highlight, I guess, is making grandparents aware that while your son and your daughter may have split from their respective partner, and yes, it's your son or your daughter, you shouldn't be going bad-mouthing their ex. You know, the marriage is broken up, or the partnering is broken up for many reasons. Yes, you've got to show your loyalty to your son and your daughter, but you've also got to realize that their ex-partner is either the mother or the father of your grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And if you're completely nasty to them, you're going to risk your relationship with your grandchildren, because unfortunately people do use their children as emotional pawns. So say, for example, I had a son and he was divorced from, you know, the mother of my three grandchildren. If I am bad-mouthing my ex-daughter-in-law the whole time, 9 times out of 10, that ex-daughter-in-law will say, well, stuff it, you won't see your grandkids. And then I've got to launch legal action to be able to go through it. That's not a situation that anyone wants to go through. What I think you've got to realize as a grandparent is that it is very sad that your son and daughter has split up, but your role now is to try and keep things on an even keel. Don't meddle. Don't get involved. Don't badmouth. Let your son or your daughter know that you are there for them, but don't do silly things like, I gave you $1,000 to fix the roof 2 years ago. I want that money back. Mm. What you've got to do is you've got to realize that at the time you gave that money or the time you paid that financial bill, you were happy to do so because it's the roof over the head of your grandchildren. And yes, you've still got every right to be angry. You've still got every right to say, you know, well, I've been looking after the kids and I could have worked and I could have done this. But you have to deal with the here and the now. And life is a tapestry. It's made up of so many different pieces that no one is going to get it right every time. What you've got to try and do is not badmouth. I mean, my husband's ex-wife, so his ex-in-laws, they ripped up photos of my husband what? With his two kids. Yeah. And they actually, they behave badly. So what I have since done is I re-scanned a lot of photos that my mother and father-in-law had, and I did an album of photos for my stepson and my stepdaughter because I thought this is behavior. No one is happy when anyone splits up. Even if you don't like your son or your daughter-in-law at the moment, no one wants a split because you can see that there will be issues down the track. It is incredibly rare that two people splitting up will not repartner. History shows us that human beings are meant to be together and have a connection. You've just got to try and be quite objective, level-headed, depending on your relationship. You know, sit down and say, look, I'm really sorry that this has happened, blah, yes. blah, 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 blah. And try and do it. Now, naturally, I'm being very generalistic here. We know that there is domestic violence. We know that there are a lot of issues. I'm talking very generally as a step parent, that very sort of vanilla black and white thing when you split. Just be careful of your behavior and also realize that when a split happens, it's probably been on the cards for a couple of months or at least a few years, but no one has quite known what to say. And you know, don't make it about you. If you're a grandparent or you're a brother or a sister, don't make it about your role as the aunt or the uncle. Don't say, oh, well, what am I going to do now? And, oh, you've done this. And what are we going to do at Christmas? And what are we going to do at Easter? And what are we going to do at, you know, Hanukkah? And what are we going to do here? Don't make it about you. Accept the information. I'm really sorry to hear that. I hope that you guys can work things out to have an amicable split. Just use very, very sensible words. Don't start bad-mouthing, oh, I never liked her and I never did this, because then what happens is if your son or daughter-in-law has been married for 12 years, you're also going to cause a lot of upset to them because they're going to think, well, hang on a second, up until, you know, an hour ago when I told you, I thought you'd really like my wife or I thought you'd really like my husband and they're the mum and the dad of my children. So don't put little jibes in and bad mouth and stuff. Just try and be very central. You have a right to be annoyed. And yes, if you've been financially helping out your son and daughter-in-law and she's had an affair on your son, you've got every right to be angry. But you know what? It's happened. What you've got to realize is, what do you do next?
Yes. What now? And how do we move on? Yeah. And you said it. I mean, really, the family outside of the core is yours, but the core is not. So you hit the nail on the head. I love that because that's a very good point. It's not about the aunties or the sisters or anybody talking about what are we going to do now and putting emphasis on something that is strictly between the wife and the husband or partners to work out. I'm a bio parent. So I know sometimes when I talk about bio parents, I'm in there. I'm a bio parent too. So I have to watch for the same things that I admonish the other bio parents to make sure that we're on point with. This is not a situation from anybody's perspective.
No, and Tim, also, you just brought up a really important point. I don't think that people in the wider family really realize the pressure that the person who is their brother or their sister is actually feeling. And I've heard occasions of when people have split that someone has got annoyed with the person saying, well, how come you never rang me up and told me and I heard from Auntie Mary? Now, the thing is, I don't know anybody that has rung up someone to say, hello, yep, we've split and we're on to the next one. And that, you know, they've gone down their Rolodex or in their phone and they've rung and told everybody. What happens is in a family, information does just filter out and it should be no one's right that they feel aggrieved that the person hasn't told them. The person may only tell their brother, their sister, their parents. As for the aunts and the uncles and the cousins, that can filter down and do it. If you're an aunt or an uncle or a cousin, don't take offense that maybe your favorite niece or favorite nephew hasn't rung you to tell you that after 20 years of being together, they're splitting up. You are actually the least of their concern, and so you should be.
Absolutely.
You need to just respect the fact that this is not a thing that they're ringing up. They're not going to ring up and tell anybody. It just becomes part of things until it all simmers down.
Yep, you're right. And the pressure from every direction. I remember when I went through my divorce, and really it wasn't an upside down terrible thing, but nevertheless, nothing about it is great. I remember even going to work feeling like people who could care less about me in a natural way, how I was going to actually kind of break the news. And it was ridiculous. It really was. So it's real.
And there was extra pressure on my husband because if you all know the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding and My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, well, that is one of my most favorite comedy movies at the time because I am like Ian Miller. I am an only child that had my dad had died, my mom was alive when I first met his family, and then you're enveloped into it. My husband was one of the first ones in the whole family to split. So you can imagine he had 20 aunts and uncles and this and that and what have you. And, you know, this had been on the cards for many, many, many years, but it's there now. Since then, other relatives have split and stuff, but he was almost like the first one that had to take, you know, all the heat and things. So also people reading this book and realize that this may happen to your children one day. You might be sitting there looking at your 10-year-old now, and you never know, in 15 years time they may split, they may have children and split. How are you going to act as, you know, a grandparent in a step-parenting family situation?
Correct. And even at the very least, the way statistics and data are moving and what we see, their spouse or partner was a stepchild at one point. So that's very important to remember. I want to point and focus a couple things here. The contents of this book, I think, are holistic and inclusive. And what I mean by that is you hit so many different areas in this book. You talk about a new baby. You're talking about holidays. You're talking about Mother's Day, Father's Day. You're talking about allergies, even agonies. And you're talking about the role of the children, school. You talk about the end of an era, start of a new one. You talk about the realization that you're about to become a step parent. That's my second best chapter too, by the way. You've got so many different points you touch, and I want to give you kudos for that, because I could see here clearly, and anybody that gets the book, you will also see that this, while no literature or piece of written documentation can be the all with all, Carolee has hit almost every main artery of our dynamic in this book. And that's such a great thing. The name of the book is called Step Parenting with Purpose. Everything you wanted to know, but were too afraid to ask. And she gets into this thing in layman's terms and can connect with pretty much anybody that reads it. I'm very proud of you for doing this for a couple of reasons. One, you did this in retrospect, which is huge for me. Your job, for all pretensive purposes, was over, done. And you came back to make sure that anybody else going through this or even thinking about going through this has a blueprint from your perspective of how to help and survive and get through and navigate. So thank you for that. That speaks volumes about you as a person. So thank you. Very well written. I haven't finished it, but I am 3/4 of the way, and I have nothing but great things to say about the book and your work. So thank you so much. Talk to me and our people. Where can we find this book? Where can we find you?
I was going to say thank you so much, Tim. You certainly know how to make a gal's day. That is lovely. And to say that you're proud of me, I mean, that's obvious. I mean, my husband has said he's proud of me and friends have said it. But to have someone say that, other people that have bought the book, it really, I had a real passion and desire to do this book. Now, the book, so it is available on Amazon, Booktopia, any of your online sites. But what I was going to say, I'm very happy to do this and I'll give Tim the details. I have the website, which is caroliekatzimbanis.com, and I'm very happy to offer a 20% off discount code to any of your listeners. What I will say is, as Tim said at the very beginning, given COVID, the chance of it getting to the United States in less than 8 weeks at the moment is very slim. But what I will do is I will, of course, photograph the receipt and show you that it is on its way and things. So I'm very happy if you'd like to order it from the website. It is, but I would just say Amazon, Booktopia, online. It's available Kindle version as well. Happy to do it in any way that you'd like me to, Tim.
That is perfect.
And I was going to say to everybody out there, I love Kindle books and things like that. But an Australian person that bought the book actually sent me a message on Messenger, because I'm not difficult to find on social media, and they said, thank you, your book is cheaper than therapy.
Hey.
Hey. And I wanted to say that while I have studied psychology, I am not a psychologist and I'm not a psychiatrist. And what my book is designed to do is to make you feel not alone on your step-parenting journey, to make a difference to those on the step-parenting journey, both the parents, the step-parents, and the step-children. Don't forget, writing this book retrospectively, I know that my step-children, who are now 26 and 25, would have been reading it as well. So when I wrote it, I had told them that I was writing it, and I said there might be a couple of incidents where I don't have a go at your mother, but I do actually call out the behaviour. And they said, yeah, that's fine, we know that. So because I have never bad-mouthed their mother in all the time that I have known them ever. And I'm very proud of myself for not doing that. And that's why I feel that I have a credibility to be able to write a book like this, because this book has not been written to get back at my husband's ex-wife. It's been written to make a real difference. And I'm really glad that it is.
Oh, yeah. I believe it. Yeah. I don't think you've even seen the half of what it will do and the doors it'll open for you. That is my hope for you. Where can we find you social media wise, like Instagram, okay, or Twitter?
So I'm on Twitter. It's Twitter at @CarolieKat. I will let Tim know the details. I'm on Facebook under Carolie Katzimbanis. I'm on Instagram under Carolie Katzimbanis and Messenger as well. It's fairly easy to find me. Just make sure that we'll spell the name correctly. And I'm very open. I will reply back to you. You can also on the website, if you've got any questions, you can send me questions through that as well. But I just hope that when you read it, you get some things out of it, and it really does help you. It really does help you. I've had some friends that are parents that aren't step parents that have said, wow, this may happen to us one day. We don't know, may happen to our children. It's a really good read also about parenting too.
Mm-hmm. Preventive maintenance. I dig it. I like it. So I want to ask you this before we wrap it up. There are so many career-oriented people, both female and male, but for this purpose, I want you to speak to the Carolees out there. I want you to speak to the career-oriented female, specifically, who has no children and is living her life, doing her thing. She's met someone, and he or she has children, and it is a very daunting experience. What do you say to her? What would you say? Give her some words.
I would say you have had, or you do have, an amazing career, and you're making a difference in the industry and the workplace that you're working in. But at the end of the day in life, we've all been born for a reason, and that is to make a difference in the world. And this is an amazing opportunity that's been presented to you if you choose to go through the door to have a really positive influence on some children, and you can help shape their lives in a really positive way. One thing I'm really clear about is I say that if you go in as a step parent with what I call a Machiavellian agenda, then you should fail spectacularly, and I hope that you do. Because anybody that doesn't go in with pure thoughts as a step parent to wanting to make a difference to their stepchild really shouldn't be a step parent, let alone a parent. And don't play games and things like that. But I would say that, yeah, you have a massive opportunity to really, really get involved in someone's childhood and do some interesting things with them. And it's not about a competition. You may love cooking. Their mum may not love cooking. If they can take away memories down the track that they cooked muffins with you and biscuits and slices, that's great. Or you took them to the kitchen shops and you told them the difference between certain utensils. They'll remember that. There's space for everyone in the step-parenting dynamic, for everyone. Everyone is there to play a part. And really, I guess my biggest thing is also treat people like you want to be treated, all right? That's the true essence. Treat people like you want to be treated. Naturally, your stepkids are going to play up at some time. And naturally, they're going to say, you're not my mum, you're not my dad, you can't tell me what to do. And there's ways of dealing with that. You can say, fair enough, no, I'm not. But I value you as an individual and I'm trying to help you in life to make a difference. Can we work together? And you'll find that if you say those words, if you take that attitude, completely disarms them. So I would say to that career woman, go for it. If you have got a wonderful connection and an attraction to somebody and they have children, you can survive it, and you'll be part of the step parenting family, and you'll go through all the things that most of us have gone through. But you know what? At the end of the day, you'll come out okay, and you'll also have two or three or however many stepchildren you've got, they'll be okay as well.
There you have
is that,
it.
Is that
so
what you wanted?
Many, yeah, that's beautiful. So many jewels in that one comment section. Get your notepads, rewind it on your podcast app. I love it. Carol Lee, I almost said Sarah Lee. Carol Lee, thank you so much for joining us for the episode. I appreciate it. I appreciate you. And like I said before, thank you for this timeless work. I think you're going to help so many families, not just people, families and generations. So thank you again, and the best of luck and success to you in your future endeavors as well.
Oh, Tim, thank you. And thank you to the Blend Credible audience and the family. And just realize that none of you are alone. You have an amazing man in Tim who runs Blend Credible, who recognizes everything that you're going through, who is a massive support. And at the end of the day, when you can talk about step parenting with people that are going through and have gone through things, it's a wonderful thing. And Tim, I want to sing your praises now. You've done an amazing thing with the podcast and the fact that you're there. And thank you for all you do for all of us as well. I mean, as I said, I'm right over here in Western Australia. You're in the United States. This is a global thing, and it's global themes all around the world. All step parents go through exactly the same things, no matter where they live. So thank you for doing what you do for all of us as well, because you help us to all keep going too.
Well, I'll take that. That's an honor. Salute to all of you all, my fellow step-parents. And you know how I go. Keep shining. I see you.
Wow. Does time fly when you are spending it with people you care about? And I care about you, my fellow step-parents. Hey, I want to see you. I want to talk to you throughout the week. Find me on all platforms at Blend Credible. And in the meantime, go ahead, take this virtual high five, fist bump, and dap. You are part of the tightest frat in parenting, baby. You are Blend Credible.
You've been listening to the Blend Credible podcast with your host, Tim Watson. Thanks for hanging out with us. Head over to your podcast review section, leave a review, and let us know how we're doing. Got a question or just want to say hi? Great. We'd love to hear from you. Go to blendcredible.com. There you'll find show notes as well as links to some cool downloads. Until next time, keep shining.